had the opportunity to be at the, I guess it was Thank God for Grace meeting this last week, or I guess week ago. This, so it wasn't this last week, it was the week before Thanksgiving. But we had the opportunity to go there and listen to a bunch of preaching, and I had the opportunity to preach there. And so tonight is the message that I preached there, but it's a little, I added a lot of stuff because I had to preach in 15 minutes. So I was definitely flying through that message. It was probably the fastest I've ever preached, I guess fastest speaking that I've ever preached. But it was really a blessing to be there, and all the preaching was on point. The theme verse is in Ezekiel, and it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." And it says, the last phrase in that verse is, "But I found none." And that's in Ezekiel 22, verse number 30. That was the verse there. It says he sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And so I preached out of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're gonna read in verse number 20 real quick, but just really keying in on the fact that this world, it's definitely not getting any better. And I know in Isaiah, there's the Lord asks for someone to go, and Isaiah answers that call. But he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell with a people of unclean lips." And so today we definitely dwell in the midst of a land of people with unclean lips, and God's still asking for people to go. And so we're going to look here tonight. Are you one of those people? And will you go if he calls you? 1 Samuel chapter number 17, in verse number 20, it says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and will make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? We see that there was a cause in Israel to fight that day, and David recognized that. And so tonight we're going to be looking at three things that you must have and be to be able to stand in the gap for this nation, for this people, between God and so he doesn't destroy it. We're going to look at what you must be and have to be a man of God. But let's first pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. I thank you for just for our church and for our free country, Lord, and just for the blessing to be able to come to church freely, Lord. And we think of those down in Mexico, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. We mourn for them, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord, as they are going through a really, really tough time with persecution and everything, Lord. And cartels taking their church. I just pray you'd be with them, Lord. I pray that your will would be done down there, Lord. I pray that you'd keep them all safe, if it's your will, Lord. And I just pray that you'd be with us tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that I wouldn't say anything that you don't want me to say tonight. I pray that you'd prepare hearts for the message that you're going to give, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. We see that there's a cause. First, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us in this nation to stand in the gap? We can't. If there's no cause, there's no purpose for us to stand in the gap in between this nation and God. There's no purpose for us to preach the gospel to this nation. But first, is there not a cause? We see this nation is sinning against God heavily. We see abortion is rampant. We see homosexuality is rampant. We see adultery is rampant. Fornication is rampant. All these sins are rampant. They're everywhere. Every corner that you turn, it seems like there's these sins that are going on and on. We see that there is a cause for us to preach the gospel. We see that these sins, they hurt people. This is not how God intended us to live. These sins are really bad. And is there not a cause? We need to be preaching the gospel to these people. The only way that they're not going to be doing this sin, well, I heard it said once. You should expect sinners to sin. That's what they do. That's what they do. It's their nature. It's our nature before we were saved. It's what our flesh does. Is sin constantly. It's what it wants to do all the time. I know this past week I've sinned. I know you've sinned. It's because we live in the flesh. It's definitely hard to not sin while we're living in this flesh. But it's possible. We see that the Lord was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. We see it's possible. Jesus Christ is our example, as we're going to see a little bit later. But is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to stand in the gap between this nation and God? Is there not a cause to preach the gospel to this nation, this lost and dying nation? This nation is full of sin, and it deserves every bit of judgment that's going to come to it. But for the time being, I mean, even though it deserves judgment, there's still people that need to be saved. This nation still needs to be saved, and is there not a cause? We see that David saw that there was a cause. The first thing that you're going to need to be in order to stand in the gap is you need to be a man or woman after God's own heart. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. We know that David, he was a sinner just like we were, yet the Bible still calls him a man after God's own heart. In Acts chapter number 13, verse number 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." We see that David was a man after God's own heart. Tonight, if you're going to be able to stand in the gap between this nation and God, so that God doesn't destroy this nation, you need to be a man after God's own heart. David, he had a relationship with God. The way that you're going to be a man after God's own heart is you need to have a relationship with God. You need to be saved first and foremost. You can't be a man after God's own heart if you're not saved. If you're not saved tonight would be the best night to ever do that. It's the most important choice you'll ever make, because it's not only it doesn't only affect your physical life. It also affects your eternity. That is the most important decision of your life, is first of all being saved. If you've not ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, tonight would be the best night in the world to do that. We're going to look at that a little bit later as well. But if you have any questions, definitely don't wait. Take one of these men of God, women of God out and ask those questions about salvation. We're going to look at it a little bit later. But if you are questioning your salvation, or if you need answers now, definitely take mom or dad out and talk about it. It's the most important thing you could ever do, and so I don't want to keep you from doing that. You won't interrupt the service at all if you're going to get saved tonight. So definitely get that settled tonight. But first of all, you need to be saved. You need to be a man after God's own heart. He wasn't only saved. He also had a true relationship with Christ, with God. He prayed daily. He talked with God daily. He sought God's face daily. In Psalms, it says multiple times, "Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me." He wanted to be, He wanted to be as close to God as possible, and he knew that his sin was going to keep him away from God. Tonight, if you're going to be a man after God's own heart, you need to have a true relationship with God. We see that there's many men in the Bible, like Enoch in Genesis. We see that Enoch, he literally walked and talked with God. He had a true relationship. He had a true friendship with God the Father. He had such a friendship and such closeness with God the Father that he actually, that God translated him. It says that he took him, and he translated him. So there's so many different ideas that we could speculate, but basically he took Enoch from earth and brought him to heaven with him so that he could spend time with him and actually have a relationship with him up in there in heaven. We also see that God had a relationship with Moses, whether it be Moses talking to God in the burning bush or Moses talking to God in the mountain. Moses talked to God on a daily basis, and he was a godly man. It says he was the most meek man in all the world, I believe is in Hebrews, I think is when it says that. And then we see Elijah. Elijah was a man after God's own heart. He prayed to God. He talked with God daily. We see that Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven because he had such a great relationship with God. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. We also see that Elijah prayed that there would be no rain for 3 years, and God granted that. He prayed to God daily. He had a relationship with God. We also see Elisha. He prayed that he'd get a double portion of that of Elijah, and he definitely did. We see that he even prayed that that bears would come out of the woods and destroy the mockers, and that is exactly what happened. So we see these men of God in the Bible that prayed and had a true relationship with God the Father. These men stood in the gap between Israel and God on multiple occasions. They prayed for Israel. They preached at Israel, and so that we see that they were men of God. Second of all, if you're going to stand in the gap between this nation and God the Father, if you're going to preach to this nation, you need to be willing to listen to your father. In 1 Samuel chapter number 17, I believe it's verse 17, and it says, "And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren in Ephrath of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." In verse number 20, it says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle." We see that David was willing. He was willing to do whatever his father asked him. We see that he wanted to follow his father in everything that he did and everything that he wanted him to do. He obeyed his father. He knew that if he didn't obey his father, how is he going to obey his heavenly father? Parents today, you need to be teaching your children to obey you as your parent, so that your children will obey God as their heavenly Father one day when they get saved. If your children aren't ever obeying you, they're not ever going to obey God. It doesn't matter if it's in the area of salvation. It doesn't matter if it's in the area of surrender. They're not going to obey God if they don't first obey you. And you, as your parent, you have that responsibility to teach your kids how to obey. So make sure that you're doing that. And as a child in your father's home still, you need to be obeying what your father says or your mother says. You still have that, they are still your authority. And if you don't obey what your mom and dad say, you're not going to obey what God says when the time comes for him to tell you what you need to do. Amen. With your life. We see that David was willing to do what his father told him to do. Because of that, because of his obedience to his father, it wasn't too hard for him to obey God when God called for him to do something. In Matthew chapter number 28, you can turn there with me, we have a responsibility as Christians. You say, you go to Matthew 28 a lot, and you teach on the Great Commission a lot, and it's true. This is probably my favorite passage in the Bible, the Great Commission, because it is something for each and every Christian it's literally the will of God. It's the last will and testament, if you will, that Jesus had before he ascended up to heaven. This is exactly what he said. In chapter number 28 of Matthew, verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We see that this is the will of God for you as a Christian. We need to be preaching and teaching the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter if it's giving a hand to someone a track in the drive-thru line. It doesn't matter if it's going out door knocking every Saturday or whenever you can. It doesn't matter if it's talking and preaching the gospel out on a street corner. That is fulfilling the Great Commission. That is God's will for your life. You can't say it's not, because it's God's commission for each and every Christian. We need to be doing that. We need to be willing to follow God anywhere that He leads us. If you're not going across the street, you're not going to be able to go across the sea. And firstly, we see that we need to be a man after God's own heart. Second, we see that you need to be willing to follow God wherever He leads you. And lastly, you need to be humble. Back in our text in 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, talks about how in verse number 28, it says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." In reality, Eliab was completely wrong in everything that he just said about David. He didn't have any pride. He actually was there because he wanted to serve his brother. He was there because he wanted to bring them. He was there because his father asked him to bring them food. He was very humbled in the fact that he was able to bring and serve his brother and serve the army of the living God. He wasn't there to see the battle. He wasn't there to become famous. He wasn't there to be lifted up with pride. He wasn't there for that. He was there to serve who he could serve. He was there to serve the Lord. Amen. And we see that that is exactly what he did in slaying Goliath. He was there because his father asked him. He was there because he was humble enough to listen to his father. I'm not sure how old David is at this point, but I'm sure he is old enough to make his own decisions. But yet he still wanted to follow his dad's will. He still wanted to do what his dad asked him to do. I see that as a very humbling thing. Because a lot of teenagers today, I'm sure, if as soon as they can make their own decisions, we see that they do that. They don't heed their parents' counsel. They don't heed what their parents have to say. But yet David was humbled enough to realize that he didn't know what was best for him, and he listened to the counsel that his dad had given him. But we see that his brethren thought that he was prideful, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. Today, if you're going to stand in the gap, if you're going to preach the gospel to this lost and dying generation, you have to be a humble man. You have to know that God is in control, and that of your own selves you can do nothing. Back in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, it says that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Because of that, it says, "Therefore, go ye and teach and preach the God and teach all nations." You know, it says, Because Jesus has all power, you are able to go forth. We need to realize that we have no power in and of ourselves. We cannot do anything on our own power, but God can. Jesus can, and Jesus was given all power in heaven and in earth. And because of that, we know that we can go and we can stand in the gap. If you're going to stand in the gap between this nation and God, so that He doesn't destroy it right away, you need to be humble. You need to be a humble man. You're not going to do anything for God when you're full of pride. Matter of fact, God won't work in your life if you're prideful. We see that in, I believe it's 2 Peter. But we see the three steps. If you're going to stand in the gap, you must be a man after God's own heart. You must be able to listen and be willing to do what God asks of you, and you must be humble. But we see that there's not only David is not the only man that is after God's own heart. We see that Jesus Christ himself was actually a man after God's own heart as well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 3. Chapter number 3. We see that Jesus Christ himself was a man after God's own heart. You might say, "Well, that's Jesus. He's perfect. He's God." Yeah, he is. But he was sent to earth. He was sent to earth so that he could be an example to us. as well as die on the cross for us. So we're going to see here in a minute. I'm going to challenge you guys to do something this next week, and I pray that you guys will. But first, in chapter number 3, in verse number 16 in Matthew, it says, this is the account of Jesus getting baptized. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was a man after God's own heart. We see that God was pleased with how Jesus lived his life. He was pleased with the relationship that he had with him. We see in Jesus Christ, he had a relationship with God, the Father. He prayed in the garden, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." He was willing to do exactly what the Father asked him to do, no matter how hard or difficult or how challenging it might be. Jesus Christ was willing to do that for his Father. We see that he was a man after God's own heart because God calls him his beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You're not going to be pleasing to God if you're not first a man after God's own heart. We see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus Christ pleased the Father. It says he was well pleased. We see that Jesus Christ was a man after God's own heart. Second, we see that Jesus Christ was willing to do exactly what the Father asked of him. In the garden, he asked, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." He wanted to do God's will for his life, and we see that he ultimately did. But we see that Jesus was willing to do exactly what the Father asked of him. And it didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter even if it was going to the cross. Amen. Jesus Christ was willing to suffer persecution. He was willing to suffer hard times for the Father. And that we see that you're going to have to do that if you're going to stand in the gap, if you're going to be a preacher of righteousness. And lastly, we see that Jesus Christ was humbled. He can't come to this earth and live among a people of unclean lips. And you can't, Jesus can't. There's no way he would have been able to if he wasn't first humbled. He had to humble himself. He was up in heaven. He was God's Son. He's part of the Godhead. And he had to humble himself in order to come and become his creation, in a sense. He had to become a man. To live the life that we could not live. He had to humble himself to the fact that he was able to be tempted. He had to humble himself to the fact that he was tempted by the devil himself. Jesus Christ had to humble himself greatly to be able to come to this earth and live the life that we could not live and ultimately die. He had to be humbled to even be on that cross. He had to be humbled to even let those soldiers nail him to that cross. Jesus Christ was very humbled. And that's the last thing we see that you have to be in order to stand in the gap and in order to preach the gospel to this lost and dying generation. But I ask you tonight, are you living these 3 points? Are you praying? Do you have a true relationship with God the Father? Do you have a true relationship, and do you walk and talk with him daily? Do you have that quiet time in the morning and at night and even at noon? Do you have that set appointment when you know, I'm going to set aside my phone, I'm going to set aside my distractions, I'm going to seek God's face, I need to know his will for my life. I need to know exactly what he wants me to do. I need to know everything that he wants me to do, and I want to know his heart. Are you seeking God's heart tonight? And secondly, are you willing to do exactly what the Father asks of you? You can have a relationship with God, and you can seek his face, but at some point in doing that, you're going to have to do what God wants you to do in order to keep that relationship. You're not going to have a relationship with God long if you're not doing what he asks of you. You need to be willing to do everything that he asks of you, even if that means to suffer persecution. We see that was the case for a lot of, for all the apostles, really. And we see that that's the case for a lot of the men of God that came through the dark ages as well. These men knew God. They believed in God. They had a relationship with God, and they did exactly what the Lord asked of them. And yet we see that they were persecuted for it. Just because you're doing exactly what the Lord asks of you doesn't mean it's going to be the easiest life ever. It's going to come with hardships and heartaches, but it'll be worth it. I know the happiest people that I know are the men and women that are serving the Lord faithfully. I think of Brother Hewitt. I think of Brother Samuel Freed. And the list could go on and on and on. And these men, I mean, they're happy as can be. They are happy where they're at. They're happy serving the Lord. And even with Brother Hewitt, I mean, he's gone through, I think he's buried five, I think, children. And that's hard. I mean, that's really hard. And yet he did it knowing that that he's in the will of God. And so doing the will of God is going to come with hardships. But I know he's the happiest, one of the happiest men I know. And so he knows he's in the will of God. He knows his purpose in life is to preach the gospel, and he's doing that to the best of his ability. And so we see that you must be a man after God's own heart. You must be willing to do exactly what the Lord asks of you, and you must be humble. Are you humble? And it's definitely something I've struggled with in my life. Growing up in a pastor's home, I always we had a lot better home life than a lot of people, and growing up that was something that I would take advantage of, and that's something that I had to deal with. That's something that lifted me up with pride, and I've had to deal with that since. And so I've dealt with pride before, and I still do. I'm still dealing with it. I'm definitely not someone that is the most humble person ever. That is definitely not me. I still deal with pride each and every day. And through the Lord, I pray to God every day for him to help me with that. That is something I'm dealing with. And you can pray for me on that as well. But you must be a man after God's own heart. You must be willing to do exactly what the Lord asks of you, and you must be humble. And I'm going to challenge you guys to study the life of Christ, because he was sent to earth to die for us, yes, and to live the life that we could not live. But he was also sent so that he could be an example for us. He was sent so that he could be an example for the believer. He is our greatest example of Christian living. And yet, when was the last time you studied the life of Christ? When was the last time you really studied the life of Christ so that you can say, oh, well, Jesus did this, which means I'm going to do this as well. I'm going to challenge you guys. I'm challenging myself as well. I just started today, actually, studying the life of Christ. So you guys can study that with me. And I challenge you, I urge you to study the life of your Savior. Study the life that he lived. He lived the perfect life. So obviously, if you want to live a better life, if you want to live a perfect life, you got to study the guy that actually did it. Because you're not going to study, I mean, you can study men of God all day long, but ultimately they're sinners just like you and I. But yet Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so I challenge you to just study the life of Christ. It'll definitely help you in your Christian walk, and it'll definitely help you draw closer to the Lord. But tonight, are you able to stand in the gap? Do you have these three things down? Are you able to stand in the gap? Are you able to preach the gospel to this lost and dying generation? Is there not a cause? There's definitely a cause for Christians today to actually witness and preach the gospel. Our world's not getting any better, and it's definitely getting a lot worse. And I believe it's due to the fact that there's nobody standing in the gap. There's not as many people preaching the gospel. There's not as many people witnessing as there were in times past. And so we need to get back to that. We need to get back to standing in the gap for this nation. We see in the verse in Ezekiel, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." If you're gonna stand in the gap, you need these three things. You need to first be a man after God's own heart. You need to be willing to do exactly what the Lord asks of you, and you need to be humble. We see that David was a good example of that, and we see that Jesus Christ as well was a perfect example of that. And so tonight, just examine your life, examine your Christian life, and I pray that you'd do these three things and hopefully stand in the gap and preach the gospel and witness this lost and dying generation so that God doesn't destroy it sooner.